All right, take your Bibles now if you have one and turn to Luke chapter 2. And tonight we go back to Bethlehem. And you know, sometimes you have the preachers that they make their yearly pilgrimages over to the Holy Land. And I'm sure those tours there, they probably catch Bethlehem, the Garden Tomb, and other major places. And I never have been there, and I don't anticipate going there. However, I consider this the 26th year back to Bethlehem. In the 26 years of pastoring Bible Believers Baptist Church, and come Christmas time, we've got to go back and take a look again, and we'll do that again tonight. A couple of weeks ago, I preached a message. I called it Back to Bethel. And in the Bible, there you have the story there where Jacob, he was told to arise, and he was told to go back to Bethel. And that was a place where God met him. That was a place where unexpectedly the Lord did meet with him. He realized that, said, man, the Lord was in this place and I knew it not. And went on, said some things, and made a vow to the Lord there. Come years and years later, the Lord said, you need to go back there. You need to go back there where you set up that altar and made that vow and go back to Bethel. And you know, sometimes we've got to do that. We need to go back where we maybe had a real close time with the Lord and a real blessed time with the Lord and made a vow to the Lord, and it does us good to go back once in a while. And, you know, just as far as Bethel, that's one thing. And the passage here in Luke chapter 2, you don't read about Bethel, but you read about Bethlehem. And whereas Bethel, meaning the house of God, Bethlehem, the house of bread. And, of course, you and I, we don't think of the bread side of it. We think of the birth side of it. We think of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. At this time of the year when the world thinks of just about everything but that, you and I, we need to focus on it. And sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes there's a lot goes on. There's a lot for the ladies. Probably some for the men. I've got to get busy and I've got to start my Christmas shopping. 24th, isn't it? As soon as I get done tonight, man, I'm going to be after it. And the men, you know, they don't have quite what the ladies have. They got the cookie bacon, they got the turkey bacon, and they got the, I don't know what all they do, but they seem like they do it for about a month. And men don't do that, but sometimes it's hard to really put things in focus. And you and I need to, in spite of everything that you've had going, and everything you've got to distract you tomorrow, you and I need to, at least for a little bit here, we need to focus in on the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this time of year when you have some people, and to them it's Happy Hanukkah. Well, to be honest with you, that doesn't do anything for me. You could wish me Happy Hanukkah from now on till tomorrow night. It really wouldn't do a lot for me. And you have some people, it's, I don't know whether they call it happy or unhappy, Ramadan. I mean, if you're going to fast, I guess we'll call it unhappy Ramadan. And that's the Islamic people. They fast for this time of the year, and I don't know what for, but that's their thing. And so if everybody's got, you know, their thing going, I guess you and I could give attention to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in the Bible, there's a lot said about the birth of the Lord. Matter of fact, it's indicated clear back in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, a long time ago. And then you come up to Isaiah chapter number 7, you're looking at it again. In Isaiah chapter 9, you're looking at it again. In little book of Micah in chapter number 5, you're looking at it again. Before you ever get to the actual account in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter number 2. So apparently God looks at it as being a very important issue. As a matter of fact, it is. As a matter of fact, there are some very, very important things about the birth of Jesus Christ. The fact that his mother was a virgin and the manner of birth of the Lord Jesus Christ got him by the curse that you and I come in under. And the fact that he was God manifest in the flesh, that's very, very significant in the Word of God. And so the birth of Jesus Christ, no matter what anybody says, does have a major place in the Bible, being Matthew chapter 1, and even as a very young child, Matthew chapter 2, and before he was born, Luke chapter 1, a major, extensive account of that, and then Luke chapter 2, the account of the birth of Jesus Christ. So tonight, we need to take a look at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's familiar as what it is. Look along in your Bible with me, or listen very closely. Luke 2 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the flock, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Wow. "A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Bow your heads for a moment before I attempt to preach. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the mercy of God. We're thankful, Lord, that you cared about us and you loved us so much that you would send your Son into a place like this to take what he had to take, to go all the way to the cross of Calvary as a substitute for our sins. And Lord, that we would appreciate it a little bit. There's no way to appreciate it enough. There's no way to love you enough. But God, a little bit, some appreciation. God, I pray that you'd squeeze on every heart tonight. Help us to appreciate the wonderful, wonderful story of the unique birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, as I preach, that you'd keep my mind on the message and on the Word of God, that you'd wash me clean the precious blood and cover me with the blood. Lord, I pray that you'd give the liberty that I need tonight, the unction that's needed. God, that there'd be an effect to the preaching tonight on every heart. God, that there'd be nobody who out of here who the Holy Spirit of God has not dealt with and helped. Please, Lord, would you work? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as you and I think of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we think of where? Bethlehem. And you're told that. And of course, that's mentioned as well in verse number 11, city of David. That's Bethlehem. Verse number 15, Bethlehem, see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And so tonight I say we go again, one more time, maybe the last time. You and I are living so very, very near to the Lord's return that this may be our very last service like this. Before another year rolls around, there's a major chance that the Lord Jesus could return and rapture us out and we would be gone. This may be the very last time we go back to Bethlehem in a service like this. You know, it's amazing how people always want to go back to where they were from. A lot of times the birthplace. I know people that, well, just for example, every time Shirley and I go down to Cambridge, I think of Brighton's. How many of y'all know about Brighton's? Let's see your hand. How many of y'all know what Brighton's is known for? Let's see your hand. I'll tell you what. I'll just spill the beans. They will give you more fries than you can eat in one sitting just for one order of fries. That's all. I mean, that big, like that, you'll take them home. They're known for that. I mean, they give you big bunches of ice cream, big bunches of fries. And I think of Brighton's. My wife says, well, let's go down Garfield Avenue. Garfield Avenue. Oh, yeah. Here we go again. No matter where we're at, we go by Steve Leafley's church, we'll turn down here. We go to Brighton's, we'll turn up here. We go to Judy's Antiques, we'll go over here. No matter where we always go to 9809 or 908 or 910 or 109 or whatever it is, Garfield Avenue, and she was born over here, but Pop, they lived over here, and Pop dug it. We always go back to Garfield Avenue in Cambridge. You know, a lot of times people that way, they just want to go back. They want to go back to the old homestead. And I know people that, I got a friend of mine, he's from Pittsburgh. And you know, Pittsburgh gives me a heart attack to think of it. You been to Pittsburgh lately? I don't even want to get near it. Last time I went to Pittsburgh, if you go to Pittsburgh, make sure that you get out of there like about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because, I mean, if you try to get out of there at 4:30, 5 o'clock, you're going to be history. You know, every now and then I have to go over there to Allegheny Hospital, and I go there and, you know, make my way through there and get up there on that hillside there in Allegheny Hospital, and I come back out of there and get in that tunnel and start to get in that traffic there, and man, I'll tell you what, I break out into sweat, and they're coming through there 70 miles an hour, 4, 5, 6, 8 lanes, I don't even know how many, they're shooting down through there, and I got to get in that traffic. And I've done it already without an accident in an Escort. You think that's not a trick? You ought to try that. I love them 302s. Those Escorts don't do it in a place like that. And I got a friend that's from Pittsburgh, and all he talks about is Pittsburgh, and all he does is go back to Pittsburgh. And I mean, no matter what, man, forget anything around here, Pittsburgh. He's been around here 50 years, and he talks about Pittsburgh. And people are that way. And you and I tonight, we need to go back to the house of bread, the little town of Bethlehem, Bethlehem, Judah, or Bethlehem, Ephratah, the birthplace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Bible, you've got a couple Bethlehems. You've got one Zebulun. Zebulun, that's clear up north. That's northern part of Palestine there in Israel. Now, you don't want to go to that one there. That's mentioned in Joshua chapter number 19. But you want to go to the one on the hillside of Judah there, in the hills of Judah, Bethlehem, Judah. And you want to go to Bethlehem, Ephratah. That's where there were some significant things that took place. But most of all, not the death of Rachel, not the home of Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, although that does have quite an application, but the birth, not even of David, but the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you and I think about the birth of the Lord, there are some things about it that say, amen, down. You have people that run around this time of year, and you know, I mean, it's all bah humbug. Everything to them is just, man, down, down, down. And there's some things about it that are down. I look, you know, early on there, and I see what goes on in those first three verses. I say, man, this is about like it is today. You ever feel like you've been defrauded? I was coming to church, and I felt like, yep, that's it, man. I'll never vote yes again. Never. I mean, I don't care what the issue is. I used to vote yes. Well, I might still vote for the policeman and fireman, but that's it. Nothing else will I vote yes for. I mean, I passed this, no empty bus. And I've been passing them, I don't know how many months now, empty, empty, empty. Big old buses, man. We go out and rent them things for $1,000, $2,000, send the kids down to North Carolina. I just one of those things there, we ought to say, hey, let's have one of those things. We'll make it worth your while. We could, we'd do better off to load one up and send it down to the youth camp down in North Carolina, what they do around here. Once in a while, you see, most I've ever seen is two. I saw two one time. One time, I saw two. Anybody ever seen more than that? On those buses run around? And I feel like as though, you know, man, that's my money. I'm paying for that. You imagine what? And they're going to spend another couple $1,000,000, get a bunch of new buses. They're going to really need some new buses, man. They're not random because they're not brand new. And sometimes you feel like, man, I have, I don't know what, man, but I've been used. I feel like as though I could spend some of that money. I'd like to spend it on my family. And sometimes you feel like as though I've been used big time, and I've been defrauded. A fellow told me one time, and his thing, you know, mine's buses. Maybe, I don't know what yours might be, but probably everybody's got something. I was one time in a gas station, I started pumping gas, and I got looking to taxes there, and I thought, I couldn't believe how much that money was going into taxes. And there's just something about that, it doesn't really make your day. This fellow, his problem had to do with the parks. I know, you know, they put this levy on for the parks. And they bowed it down. They put it on again, bowed it down. About Fifth time through, they boat thing through. And he worked for him, and he knows what thing is. And he said, you just cannot believe the absolute waste that goes on. And he said, the wildest thing is, they're always calling for volunteers. It's kind of like the Adopt-a-Highway program. They're, you know, adopt a park. And they got people going out there volunteering, mowing the grass while all the people are getting paid. They just hop in the truck and go from here to there. And get out and go from here to there. And then come back from there to here. And kind of troubles him. But you know what? I'm sure these people the same way. They probably felt that way. I'll put it this way. This world has got that very thing to look forward to. And you and I know that because of Daniel chapter 11 and verse number 26. We know that soon on the scene, just as quickly as we get raptured out of here, on the scene shows up the miracle man, but the miracle man is also a raiser of taxes. Daniel chapter 11. You know, sometimes you think, well, I guess I could be like some. I could say, this is a time to be, not be happy, not be merry. This is a time to be down, man. Get down. I mean, look what they've done. Connect with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, you know, you look and you say, man, it doesn't really get a whole lot better. And I think, you know, for example, this looks like somebody's going to get the victory, and it's certainly not going to be the Lord now. Here's Mary, and the Bible said she's great with child. And now she's going to travel by the means which they traveled in those days. And she's great with child. And she's got to go all the way to Bethlehem. She's got to go back to the city of David. She's got to go all the way to Bethlehem, and you'd say, no chance. There is no way. But you know, that's real important. It's important that she make Bethlehem. If she doesn't make Bethlehem, then the Word of God, then the devil's got the victory, and the Word of God goes down. The Word of God's broken. You break it one place. I mean, break it like the, it's like the law of God. It's like a chain. No matter where you break it, beginning, middle, it's broken. And if you can break the Word of God in one place, then we don't have anything. You can't, don't have anything you can stand on if you can break it in one place. And it looked like, man, the devil has got it now. Looks like, man, everything is in order. The plan of attack is going to work. There just is no way that she should ever arrive all the way back to Bethlehem. No way. Looks like the book goes down. If the book went down, we're done. If the book went down, you and I have no chance. Why would you pay attention to the Word of God, to God, the God that could not control history? And it looked like, from a natural standpoint, looked like his other man. I mean, the chances are, the odds against this thing coming to pass are so remote of her going all the way to Bethlehem, being great with child, and going by means to get all the way to the chances are just about nil, say one out of a 100, 500, 1,000, I mean, just about nil that she should make it there without delivering under those conditions of being at that point in the pregnancy. You just would never thought she'd ever make it. However, it doesn't really matter what the odds are. It wouldn't matter if they were 1 against 10 million, 100 million, quadrillion. It wouldn't matter what the odds are. When God says this is how it's going to be, and this is where it's going to happen, it wouldn't matter what kind of plan of attack the devil mapped. It wouldn't matter how far along the line he could push that thing. And it would appear like his old man, he just about has it in bag. And it appear like his old man nearly has got the victory over. It doesn't matter. You and I know that with God, all things are possible. You and I that know that, well, it's like the Bible says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Anything? And you know, when you speak of the virgin birth there, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's amazing. And one of the arguments that the angel used there, he said, Elizabeth, she's conceived a child in her old age. So what's the deal? All things are possible with the Lord. Well, you can go back to Genesis chapter 18. There's Sarah, man, she gets a big old belly laugh, you know. Oh, man, I can't believe this, you know, on the inside. And you laughing? Oh, no, I'm not laughing. She was laughing. I mean, should I bear a child at my age? Well, why wouldn't you laugh? But did she bear a child at her age? Yes, she did. And Elizabeth, with John the Baptist, did he come on the scene? Yes, he did. And so what's the difficulty? But you know, it looked like as though that, man, the Word of God, Micah chapter 5, verse number 2, Bethlehem Ephratah, that's where he's going to come from. Looked like as though, we've got orders, but those orders shall never come to pass. Just waited a little bit too long. You know, you and I, when we think of the birth of Christ, we say, oh man, I'll tell you what, there are just some things about that I don't really like. It's true. For example, they did get there. And when they got there, they didn't have the palm branches strewn in the way. There wasn't nobody crying, Hosanna. Save now, save now. Blessed is he that cometh. In the name of the Lord. There wasn't a crowd at all, as a matter of fact. It was so crowded that they had no room for him in the end. None at all. I don't know how you feel about that, but you know the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the one that made it all. The Bible says that, and that'd be pretty amazing to have made it all. And then when you come down here, find out that you get treated like, well, you know how we say it? That guy treated me like a dog. You ever hear that? Manger, animals, no room. You say, well, man, I treat my dog better than that. You probably do. I've heard that too. Every now and then, you know, you have somebody getting on another, hey, man, what are you doing? Stop and think. I treat my dog better than that. I'm saved. I mean, the proof of being saved is I don't kick the dog anymore. Well, to some that is. The proof of being saved is the Word of God. I mean, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That is it. But you know, as you and I look at some of the stuff, we say, can't hardly believe that that's how it went. Babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Those are death clothes. Man, you take them little babies and you get them the cutest little pinkest, bluest, frilliest thing you can get for them. Swaddling clothes, you wouldn't think of swaddling clothes. Grave clothes? Man, I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but I can imagine how his mother felt. I can imagine how Joseph felt. Imagine all the way to Bethlehem, no room, swaddling clothes, manger, treated like a dog, yet he's the promised one. Why, you know, for 4,000 years, that promised one had been expected. And here comes Mary at last, at last, at last. Man, I can't believe it. I'm to bear. Man, it's worth it all. Man, God has blessed me above women. Man, I cannot believe it. God has done this to me, and I'm to bear the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Holy One, the one we're looking for. I cannot believe that. 4,000 years, and I'm the vessel. And then get there and find out no room in the inn. After expectation like that. Absolutely amazing. And yet, you know, when the Lord says, you go back, you follow directions. And that's what they did. I read a funny story, and it went something like this. A fellow's wife started calling to him, Mike, Mike. His wife's name was Bridget. She called to him when he came home one night. Said, run over to Mac's house and see what's wrong with Pat. And Pat had been running up and down the yard since breakfast for 2 days. Believe that. And the weather's bad, and man, guys in shirt sleeves, you know, I mean, this is not the weather for shirt sleeves, like now. It's not the weather to be running around, the yard in shirt sleeves. Ron, you run, but you don't run around the yard in shirt sleeves in this kind of weather. I don't think. Well, I have already. I remember one time digging a footer in 15-degree weather in a T-shirt, but I was 18 then, not what I am now. And I tell you what, you know, when you pick frozen ground, you get a chunk about like that, and you got a footer to dig, that'll work the sweat up. I don't care what the weather is. Nonetheless, this fellow, he'd been running around the yard there, and he'd been doing it for a couple of days, and the wife said to her husband, said, I think the guy's either lost his mind or else he's training to be a policeman. Did Jerry do that? No, I don't think so. And the guy says, woman, he said, let him be. He's got a wife to worry him. And the next night he comes home, and man, his wife meets him at the door again. He said, Mike, said, you gotta go, man. His brain's gone entirely, or must be taking dancing lessons or something, man. He's prancing in the yard, around the yard the whole blessed day. And so Mike thought about that, and he said, man, I better look into this matter. This has gone too far. And he goes to Pat, and he says, man, he said, can't your wife jaw at you enough without all the neighbors taking a whack? What are you making a spectacle of your feelings in the backyard for? Are you crazy? And Pat said to him, sure. He said, man, I'm only following directions. It's a bit sick I've been, and the doctor left me some medicine. He told me to take 2 days running and then skip a day. Follow directions, man. 2 days running, skip a day. So that's kind of how this was, you know. I mean, take off and go. Man, this is crazy. You wouldn't think about going. Well, he followed directions. I don't know if it worked, but this worked. And you know, there is a side of it in which you and I say, this is just unreal. This doesn't fit. It's not supposed to be this way for the Lord. But you know, there's always two sides of the coin. And what looks like this side that the world likes to gloat over, the downside of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I look at another side. There's a side that you and I look at that is, I mean, total, absolute delight. And you and I, we look at those verses there, and we don't just stop early on. You and I look at them there, and all of a sudden, here's the shepherds there abiding in the field, and lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And goes on, doesn't even stop there, and says some more wonderful, wonderful things. What doesn't look like a very good picture turns into absolute sheer delight. A delightful picture if you ever, ever saw one. You know, sometimes you and I, we've got to look ahead. Sometimes it's not well to just dwell in the right now. Sometimes you've got to look on. And if you and I just stopped before we ever got to verse number 9, verse number 10, verse number 11, you and I would say, oh, no, man, this is not really it, man. No room in the inn and swaddling clothes and laid in a manger there. Man, this is a terrible picture. The birth of... But you know what? It turns all the way around. And you and I, we've got to stop and get a handle on our attitude. We got to say, man, thank God for the right side. Thank God for the reality of what the Lord Jesus actually was and has proved to be everything the Bible said he was. You and I have got to look at the birth of Jesus Christ with total sheer delight. Somebody wrote these words about dreams. What would you do in this world of ours were it not for the dreams ahead? For thorns are mixed with the blooming flowers, no matter which path we tread. And each of us has a golden goal stretching far into years, and ever he climbs with a hopeful soul, with alternate smiles and tears. That dream ahead is what holds him up through the storms of his ceaseless flight, when his lips are pressed to the wormwood's cup and clouds shut out the light. To some it's a dream of high estate, to some it's a dream of wealth, to some it's a dream of truce with fate, to some it's a dream of health, to some it's a dream of home and wife, to some it's a crown above. The dreams ahead are what make each life, the dreams and faith and love. And you and I, we can look and say, boy, I'll tell you what, this seems to pass even our wildest dreams, our greatest dreams we've ever had. As you and I look at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ from the angle of verse number 9 and verse number 10, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. I don't know about you, but that business of good tidings, there's not a lot of that around. Thank God we've got it. If anybody's got the message, we've got the message. And God has entrusted us with that message. You and I, God has left you here because he's trusted you to get out the gospel, to get it out, to get it out, to get it out. I mean, you don't have to be eloquent to get it out. I mean, just basic will get out the gospel. It doesn't take somebody who's a great orator to do that. You can get out the gospel, and God has entrusted you with that. And that is good tidings. That's good news. And the Bible says here, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. I was reading a passage today, and it was back in 2 Samuel chapter 1, and about verse number 42. And again, you read about good, and you don't read it often, that term good tidings. And I say to myself, that's what I want to be. I want to be a bearer as much as I can. I mean, often enough, you're a bearer of bad tidings. And so as much as I possibly can, I want to be a bearer of good tidings. I want to have for this world, I want to have for people hope, not despair. I don't want to leave them at one part where it's all down, down, down. It'd be like people following David. The Bible says there were men, the ones that followed him, they were in debt. They were discontented. They were in distress. And I think to myself, that's almost the start of this picture here. It'd be like the people following David here. Man, they're just down. I don't want that. I mean, sometimes that is how it goes. However, you and I need to go beyond that. You and I need to go to the best side, the delightful side. If you want to call it a dream, it's the truth, but it's beyond any dream you would ever have. Good tidings of great joy. Why, joy, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Not too awful long ago, Ron Breedlove's mother-in-law, they don't know if it was a stroke or what the problem was. She began to come to, and Ron began to speak to her. Got down there in her ear and said to her, Grandma, remember, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And you know what? She responded. She didn't respond like you would say, glory to God, man, I know that. She said, I'm cold. However, his response, she couldn't even respond before that. And she at least responded. But you know, as you think of the joy of the Lord, that is your strength. And you and I, if it were not for the joy that God gives deep within, this life would be just about too much. And you know, joy is really just a little taste of heaven. It's a foretaste. It's like earthly relationships that are right. They're a foretaste of heavenly relationships that are perfect. And for you and I to have great joy in our hearts. You say, well, I've got difficulties. Well, sure, everybody does. I do. Say, well, you don't look like you do. Oh, sure, I do. And I'm not going to even stop and think about them, because superseding all that, there's a joy inside that just rings and rings and rings. And it's ringing tonight. The old bell's just a-ringing back and forth. Like as though somebody got up in that bell tower there, and those kids grabbed hold of that rope there, and boy, they jumped on that rope, and they're just pulling that thing down, boing, boing, boing. That thing just peeling and just ringing away. The Bible says good tidings of great joy. Say, well, who do you think you are? Nobody. At best, a whosoever. I'm like you. I'm just a whosoever. I'm the whosoever that called upon the name of the Lord and got saved. Are you? You're a whosoever. Have you done that? I'll guarantee you that it'll work. And that will bring to your heart, as well as salvation, that'll bring a joy that you've never, ever known before. Before I ever knew any Bible verses, didn't know none. Wasn't like some of these children, they were raised in the Word of God. I didn't know nothing. But after I got saved, I knew one thing, there was something inside I had never had before. There was a peace, and there was a joy that I knew nothing about. And I'm very, very thankful. That is absolutely priceless. And tonight, I say to you, as I look at this, I say, this is just nearly too good to be true, but it's true. It's true. Good tidings. The Bible says great joy. And the Bible says which shall be to all people. Now you have people run around saying, are you one of the elect? Yes, I am. You know why? Because I took him and he took me. You know what? It's that simple. Somebody says, well, how do you know you're one of the elect? Because if I've applied the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm sure that I'm one of the elect. I mean, according to the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, and if you have trusted the Lord Jesus and put your faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are one of the elect. And the Bible says, which shall be to all people. And you know, you think, well, I'm not an Israelite. Well, then there are promises that you do not get. Physical promises, promise to the Israelite that they shall get one day. They're on hold now, but one day they're going to get them. They're not yours. However, when it comes to salvation, Bible says, which shall be to all people. I look in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 7 and verse number 9, and the Bible speaks about every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And I like that. After this I beheld, lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. What are they? Verse number 14. They have washed their robes, and made them white, the Bible says, in the blood of the Lamb. And the nationality, the nation, that is not the issue whatsoever. The Bible says, good tidings, great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And I like that. I'm telling you what, man, I think it turns to absolute delight. It's as though, man, you can't hardly even get it all in. A Savior. Can you imagine that? I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He came, it wasn't like as though, guess what? Guess what I'm here for? No. There's no doubt about why He, there's no guessing game to it. As a matter of fact, it was Jesus Himself said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He's come to be a Savior. He's come to die on the cross. He's come to save your soul and my soul from the devil's hell. And there's no question about it. It's not a matter of, you know, I wonder why. Is He a teacher? Why, sure He's a teacher. You ever read the Gospel of Mark? I mean, 10 chapters there. He taught and He preached and He taught and He preached and He taught and He preached. And He performed some miracles and He taught some more. Sure He's a teacher. You say, well, yeah, He's an example. Oh, yes. Sinless life, you'll never find a better example than the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, Paul said, you can follow me as long as I follow Christ. When I quit following Christ, you quit following me. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ, when I follow, you can follow anybody that follows Him, but He's an example. He's a teacher. He's an example. But number one mission that He's come for unto you is born this day in the city of David. Not a teacher, not an example. The Bible says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now I think to myself, it's just absolutely amazing. I look down a couple of verses there and I say, is that all? That's not even all. It's as though, man, how do you get it in? It's almost too good to be true. The Bible says, He's going to bring peace on earth and goodwill toward men. On top of peace is goodwill. You ever had somebody that... they're on your case, and it's anything but good, bad will. It's bad vibes. It's as though, it's not good. And it just, you know, it's not a blessing. It's certainly not a blessing. And yet you have the Lord Jesus Christ here. Bible says He come, and along with Him, along with salvation, is peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Reason we meet together in the middle of the week, because we enjoy each other. The reason these people stick around here, I wouldn't even tell you how long you'd think that there was something bad wrong if I told you how long some of them stick around. Not all of them, but some of them. And they stick around a while. That is, they come for the preaching. I think they come for the preaching. I'll say they come for the preaching. They come for the right reason. But they love each other so much, they just sort of, their lives are kind of intertwined. They just enjoy each other, and they stick and they stick and they stick. You know what that is? That's goodwill. That's goodwill toward man. And I like that. I like it all. I like the glad tidings. I don't like being a bearer of bad tidings. I've had to do that. I've had to do that when it wasn't even my job to do it. I've had to do it for other churches and other people. Not my job, but I've been asked to do it. I don't know why I was asked. Why didn't you go? But they've asked me to go. Would you go to this family? I will go. I don't like that. I do not like that. But glad tidings, oh, I'm like you. That's what I want. Glad tidings, great joy. I don't like to see people dragging down. No, I like to see them filled with the joy of God. Great joy. Just getting a touch of heaven on this earth, right before we get out of here. And the Bible says, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. But we at least get a taste of it down here. The Bible says, great joy should be to all people. I don't have to worry about distinctions. I can go down the street corner, I don't care who passes by that corner. I can give it all I got. You know why? All people. And it doesn't matter. I mean, you get them born again, brother, doesn't matter where they come from. God's the one makes the difference. And I think to myself, a Savior, now, man, that's just going in almost to, that's just about, that's like Isaiah said, you need to be drinking of the wells of salvation. You know, it's, like I said, it's just about too much. It's kind of like, you know, the Lord he's spoken of is a pearl of great price. You say, boy, that he is. And I say, oh, absolutely. When you look at that and say, he's all that. Plus verse number 14, he's all that. Wow. Man, he is a pearl of great price. I can't believe, yes, he is. It was like years ago, before Shirley and I got married, I did anything I could to win that young gal. I mean, I went out and bought a yellow convertible. She really married me for my car. She'll never tell you that, but she did. No, I bought her a Christmas gift one time. And it was a compact. Not a compact car. A compact. Do they still use compacts? Heather, do you still use a compact? She don't even know what it is. Yeah, I guess that's it. Yeah, well, sometimes, some of them still use them. But this was a mother of pearl compact. And I asked her the other day, so you still got that? I still got it. And that costs money. You don't get those, you know, down at Clarkin's. You buy those at Shulin's. I don't know where I bought it. But those cost money. And, you know, they're not like the, they're called compacts, but they're not really, they're not like this. They're about like that. And they're about that thick. And, you know, as I think the Lord being the pearl of great price, I say, that compact would not be big enough. I mean, you think glad tidings, and you think of great joy, and you think of all people, and you think of a Savior, and you think of peace, and you think of goodwill. Say, man, I need something like that, not something like that. Man, he's a pearl. He's a tremendous pearl of great price. He's priceless. He's priceless. And so you and I, we look at the picture, and the picture certainly has changed. You know, we look at here and heaven begins to get excited. Suddenly there was with the angel multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And then the shepherds, all of a sudden they get excited. And I think to myself, man, if heaven gets excited and the shepherds, man, if the shepherds got excited that night, you and I, we ought to be excited about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, the deduction is just tremendous what we have in the Lord. And you and I, we ought to be running around town tonight saying, doxa, doxa. Dave, come on. He didn't forget, man. The guy's got a memory like an elephant. Down in Pensacola, we had a little bit of Greek, you know, and we kind of, you know, we tried to prove what we knew. One time I went to a Greek candy store in Mobile, and I went over there, and I went to that Greek guy, and I pulled out my Nestle's Testament, and he acted like he couldn't read it. I don't know if he could or not, but you know how they act sort of dumb. So I said, doxa! And I laughed. You know. Glory to God. Glory, you know. And you and I, we ought to be excited. We ought to be excited about the Lord and everything we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, as you consider it, really goes even beyond that. For example, in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 2, the Bible says about this little old town of Bethlehem, says, out of these shall come forth he that should be ruler. And the Bible says he's been from everlasting to everlasting. And it's the idea that he's going to be the king one day. And the idea that he was God, and he is God. He's God the Son. And you and I think, man, the babe, I mean, all that we got in him. And on top of that, one day he's going to be the ruler. And one day he's going to be the king. And he's going to be known as the everlasting Father. There will not be any doubt about the fact that he is actually God the Son. And there will not be any doubt about it one day when Jesus Christ comes back. Like one time, this Scotch-Irish preacher, he fancied himself as being a real orator. You know how some preachers are, they just, you know, feel like as though that they really know how to say it. And he was kind of that way, and he could really put it on. He was a pretty good speaker, and the words just came easy for him. And so they had this little christening, and if you don't know what that is, that's kind of a little deal that the Protestant church never broke off totally from the Catholic church, and it kind of came along. It's a little bit, it's a nothing type of thing, but it's a little thing they go through. And so he had, that day for this christening of this little bitty baby there, they had, man, he looked around at a big audience. I mean, a well-known family there, and boy, they were just, a place was just packed out, so he's going to put on his oratorical best. And so he gets up there and says, friends, he says, we have met together here for the christening of this little bitty jewel. And he said, you all don't realize that little bitty things like this is what the world's made up of. Don't you realize that the ocean is made up of a lot of little drops? And he went on, he began, you know, put on his performance. And he said, why, this little infant here, someday he may become a great preacher like me. You know, that's what he was trying to say. He may become an eloquent orator, and he may present the gospel in a manner that just melts the hearts of men. Or this little child here, he may become a great physician. He may become a healer of healers outside the Lord Jesus Christ, be none like him. And all the world may come to him, words like that. Or this little bitty infant here, he may become a, what'd they have back in those days? He may become an astronomer. And he could read the heavens like a book. Why, he could, you know, take off where Isaac Newton left off, and he could, well, he'd just become a well-known, world-known astronomer. He may become a well-known author, a well-known poet. And boy, he'd give that, I mean, he just piled it on for about 5 minutes. He was this and he was that, and he was something else. And his name may be in Westminster Abbey. And his name may be etched in stone. And his name may be... And then he looked at the mother and said, what is his name? And she said, what is his name? Yeah, what's his name? And he went on. He was trying to, you know, kind of fill in like, amen. You know how he kind of got always sort of filling in. You know, amen, brother. You know, what's his name? What's his name? And she says, her name is Mary Ann. You know, the guy, I mean, he's putting on all this thing, you know, putting on a great big old thing, you know, and say, what's his name? Her name is Mary Ann. But you know what? Everything that he beefed up about that little girl, that little bitty baby, if it were a boy, was just something kind of, you know, to impress a crowd. But you could take the Lord Jesus Christ and you could just go on and on and on and on and on. And it would be true. And it would not be just something to impress. It would be the truth. Absolutely the whole truth. And nothing but the truth. Isn't it a wonderful thing for you and I to think of our Savior coming in, and with all the odds against him, yet so very, very much turned out so very, very well, just beyond words. And you know, I think of a story there in Bethlehem. It's found in the book of Ruth. And it's the story there of how that Naomi had become a very bitter woman. And I guess you'd say she left Bethlehem. And when she left Bethlehem, she left there because there was no bread. And she left Bethlehem and she went to Moab and she lost her husband. And not only that, she lost two sons. And she got very bitter. She got so bitter, she said, don't call me by my name. Don't call me Naomi. Call me by my new name. Call me Mara. For I'm a bitter woman, and it means bitter. She was a very bitter woman. And her two daughters-in-law, she said, y'all go on back to your people there and get your husband and let life, stuff's got to go on. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law and said, okay, we'll see you later. And Ruth said, I'm not going anywhere. And you remember the story there, whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. No, go on back. If I had a child this night, would you wait for this child? Go on back. Said, I'm not going anywhere. She stuck with her. And they got word that the Lord had visited his people and giving him bread. So they thought, we need to go back to Bethlehem. They went back to Bethlehem and they were reaping the fields, and Boaz said, who is this gal out there? Said, she belongs to Naomi, daughter-in-law of Naomi. And Boaz gives him instructions, says, don't glean the fields. As a matter of fact, you leave some of the gleanings for her on purpose. You leave the gleanings for her. And as the story goes, they were able to survive and get by, but one day, Boaz became to her her Redeemer. Boaz of Bethlehem. Boaz became her kinsman Redeemer. He was a kinsman. He said, but there's a kinsman nearer than I, and he has first shot. If he doesn't redeem you, I'll redeem you. And the one that had first shot said, no, I'm not able to do it at this time. And he said, okay, I'll redeem her, and everything belongs to her. I'll be her Redeemer. He was a kinsman Redeemer. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ, a kinsman Redeemer. And one day after Boaz and Ruth got hooked up together, you had, I guess naturally, a child come forth. And that child to Naomi, that bitter woman, was a restorer of her life. Whereas she felt like as though, it's over. I'm done. What am I going to do? There's nowhere to go. There's no way to turn it around. What am I going to do? Bible says that God did that. And the Bible said he was a store of thy life. Now, back to Bethlehem, my friend, because there's a kinsman nearer than I. One a little bit better than even Boaz. A redeemer that will redeem you from all iniquity. A redeemer that not only can redeem but restore your life. You go back to Bethlehem and you look at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, could he do that? He could do that. He could do it for you. He could do it for anybody because he's a great, great deliverer. He can take a life that is so tangled up like Naomi's, feel like as though it's hopeless, there is no way, and turn it all the way around, redeem you, and restore your life from destruction. Amazing what the Lord can do. You know, I think to myself, or read these words, and I think of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Redeemer, and I think, you know, here's Naomi, as bitter as what she was. And I guess I don't know about that side, but in the last month or so, I've had problem with headaches. And I don't know whether they're migraines or what. I think I got the answer again now. But I've thought I've had it before. But I'm telling you what, those headaches, but they do a number on you. They change you. When you can't sleep and you feel like the whole head's ready to explode, and you get operating on a couple hours sleep, and then, man, we're up, and we get a couple more hours, and 3 or 4 hours just doesn't cut it under the best conditions. And, you know, you begin to get flustered. I think of Naomi there and the bitterness that she had. And I think of how that was just killing her. I mean, it was just eating her alive. And I think to myself, boy, it sure is a wonderful thing what Boaz did. A wonderful thing that he could be a redeemer. And a wonderful thing that he could be a restorer of thy life. And I thought, you know, that's the way the Lord Jesus, house of bread, Bethlehem, that's what the Lord Jesus can do. He can redeem you. The Bible says when he redeems you, it's an eternal thing. The Bible says it's an eternal redemption. And the Bible says along with it, I mean, you get redeemed. And the Bible says he's able to purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God. And the Bible goes on and says you can have a perfect conscience towards God in the area of sin. All cleaned by the Lord Jesus Christ and your life restored. All because a little babe in Bethlehem went all the way to the cross of Calvary, died for our sins according to the Scriptures, buried, rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Dr. DeHaan, the old Dr. DeHaan, used to put out little booklets, and back in those days before he passed on, I belonged to what was called the Radio Bible Class. And I'd get those little booklets, and I remember along with the Bible study lesson was a day-by-day little daily bread booklet. And one of them, there was a few lines, and it went like this. It said, there is a treasure you can own that's greater than a crown or throne, a conscience purged with which to live, that only the blood of Christ can give. You know, when I think of Boaz, that kinsman redeemer and restorer of that life of Naomi, that bitter woman, I say, wow. When I think of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to begin to feel like those angels. I'm going to begin to feel like those shepherds. I'm going to start getting excited. I'm going to think to myself, oh man, he really is a pearl of great price, born that day in Bethlehem. Little town, but a lot going on. If you can imagine deliverance, if you can imagine the delight of all that's wrapped up in the Lord Jesus, what a major thing, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I read this story, and it's a fellow said, you know, the Lord is a pearl of great price, is the only thing you can give and still keep. And you know, that's a forever gift. That pearl of great price is a forever gift. He said, you know, when I was 17 years old, I got my pearl of great price. And he says, I still have that original pearl because it's a forever gift. And he says, you know, I've told a lot of people about that pearl. And they too have received that pearl of great price. But I still have mine, because it's a forever gift. You know, the Lord Jesus came in. He didn't come in on some secretive mission. He said, I come to be a Savior. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You get your sins washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll clean out your conscience and clear your conscience and fill your heart with joy and fill your heart with peace and believing. It'll give you goodwill towards man. You'll be praising God and have a song in your heart and a charitable spirit to go with it all. All because the Lord Jesus one day came to the little town of Bethlehem and there born as a babe in a manger, but all the way to the cross after a sinless life, and died for our sins just like the Bible says. What a wonderful, wonderful thing to just think of the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The world, I'm sure, didn't have a clue. Didn't have any room because they didn't have a clue. Went to the cross, didn't have a clue. I mean, they said if they'd known he's the Lord of glory, they'd never nail him to the cross. But they didn't have a clue. Tonight they don't have a clue, but you do. You do. You knew what he was. You know about his birth. You know about salvation. You know what he'll do for you. You know what he's done for others. He will do for you. I want to ask you, do you know the Lord Jesus to be your personal Savior? If not, you would never find a better time than tonight. Say, well, Christmas Eve, that's kind of heart-rendering. That's kind of touching. Just the very fact that you have opportunity to be saved, washed in the precious blood, conscience purged, is an opportunity you don't want to miss. You can get the greatest gift you have ever, ever received. The most priceless gift, the greatest gift, the forever gift, the pearl of great price, if you would come receiving him as your Savior tonight. Would you do it? Are you saved? Didn't ask you if you went to church. Didn't ask you if you're religious. I ask you if you were saved. Because the Bible says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. That's the purpose. That's the motive. That's the reason why he wants you to be saved tonight. If you don't know him as your very own, why don't you get saved tonight? Why don't you humble yourself? Call upon the Lord. Say, Lord, I need you to do what you have done for others and what you said you would do. I need you to save me. I need you to wash me. I need you to purge me. I need you to give me some joy. I need you to take the bitterness away. I need some peace and goodwill towards man. I need a song in my heart. I have not had a song in my heart. I don't even know what it's about. I need that, Lord. Please save my never dying, sinful soul. And if you would ask the Lord to do that, the guarantee of the Bible is he would do it. Tonight, would you ask yourself the question, am I washed in the blood of Jesus? Do I know him as my Savior? You have heard about this part of the Bible, I'm sure, enough that nearly everybody here, as I read, could almost know the next word without looking at it. It's that familiar. Well, dear friend, that's fine. However, you need to know him that was born. Need to know him personally as your very own personal Savior. Do you? Is the answer to say, well, Brother Martin, no. The answer is yes or no. If you do not, the opportunity is yours to be saved tonight. Would you get saved? Would you come to the Lord? Say, what do I have to do? The church is not connected. You have to come to him one-on-one. Say, Lord, if you don't save me, I'm as good as in hell right now. I have no chance outside of your blood. Please wash me in the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes you think, why did I do what I do? Why do I do that? Why did I do that? Sometimes knowing better, you do it anyhow. Well, thank God the blood of Jesus Christ washes snow white, cleanseth us from all sin, redeem you from all iniquity, purge your conscience from dead work, everything that's out there, all wrapped up in the Lord Jesus. And you can see just from the partial list of Luke chapter 2 what a wonderful Savior he is. Is he yours? If not, make him yours tonight. Father, we're thankful for the Bible. We're thankful, Lord, for this record of the birth of our Savior. And Lord, that we would not just go back to Bethlehem, but Lord, in due time to Calvary. That's where the salvation lies. Father, would you speak to every heart tonight? And God, you know the need. And I pray, Lord, that you'd make it a very, very special Christmas, God, as only you can do. Would you please squeeze on the heart, Lord, just pray and beg you, Lord, if there's somebody here that is not saved, God, please deal with their heart. Please, Lord, squeeze on the heart. Coax on them. God, that you'd do something. Bring them to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask you to do it. We ask you to work. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.